And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Welcome to Spin Rate, presented by Topps. Check out Topps Project 70, celebrating 70 years of Topps baseball cards. That's right. This is Spin Rate, the Athletics Toronto Blue Jays podcast. My name is Drew Fairservice. I am your host for today, talking about your Toronto Blue Jays. Not an ideal couple days in Blue Jays land. Typically, we record this podcast, I do, with my co-host, Caitlin McGrath. And when we last spoke, the Blue Jays were looking ahead to a two-game series against the kind of floundering Washington Nationals. Here we are a couple days later. George Springer is on the injured list. The Blue Jays lost two consecutive games to those lowly Washington Nationals. They are, depending on the outcome of whatever Seattle Mariners, they could be in fourth place in the wild card standings. They are looking up at the Red Sox and the Yankees and the Tampa Bay Rays. Still, in the American League East, it is a little dire in Blue Jays land. If you want to learn more about what's going on in Blue Jays land, I would recommend that you subscribe to The Athletic. You can read what Caitlin has written as she tries to put the pieces together of this really unfortunate and ill-timed slide in the Toronto Blue Jays season. So you should go to theathletic.com/spinrate. Athletic.com/spinrate. Subscribe to The Athletic. They'll give you a tidy discount. You sign up for the whole year and you let the bosses know that you listen to this show, which means a lot to us and to me, to keep us going and churning these out, because we do them twice a week. We do one with Caitlin at the end of the weekend, usually on Sunday, sometimes on Monday. And then here in the middle of the week, we talk to a guest about all kinds of stuff. If you want to subscribe to the show to get it twice a week, you can do that at wherever you get your podcast, Spotify, Apple Podcast, wherever. Give us a subscription or a thumbs up or whatever it is. Give us a like, review if you can. Mean a lot. Feed the algorithm. Let people know about the work that we're trying to do here. We're having a good time here in the first season of Spin Rate. It is my pleasure this week. So the Blue Jays had a soft schedule, and the schedule is getting significantly less soft as they look ahead beyond this weekend series to a series next week, in the early days of next week, against the first-place Chicago White Sox. White Sox, Blue Jays, some similarities, I think, in the way that they built their core, the way they've supplemented and augmented that core from the outside, externally, with trades, with money. White Sox are in first place, Blue Jays are in fourth, but I don't think the gulf between the two teams is quite so wide. Just like Chicago and Toronto have their own similarities, I thought it would be great to talk about the White Sox, and also some other stuff, with my good friend Kevin Kaduk. You used to read him on Yahoo Sports for many, many years. And now you can read him as he writes the Midway Minute newsletter every single day about all things Chicago sports. White Sox, Cubs, Bulls, Sky, Bears. Oh, Bears. Oh, God. He'll kill me if I leave the Bears out. Blackhawks. I don't think he should write about them for a while. Everything. Fire. Chicago Fire. College sports. It's great. I read it every day. And as I say in our discussion, I don't know Chicago from anything. Read it every day. It's a great format. He's a great writer. He's a good dude. So he, Kevin Kaduk, and I are going to talk about the Chicago White Sox. We're going to talk about the Toronto Blue Jays. We're going to talk a little bit about the Chicago Cubs as well. I hope you enjoy it. I hope you enjoy this latest edition of Spin Rate. Kevin, how are you?
What's going on, Drew? We were just talking about it. We've been at this for 13, 14, 15 years now, which is absolute eons on the internet, but we still do it.
We still do it, and it has changed, and we have changed, and we were talking, you and I met in person in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, at what was actually quite an eventful Pirates-Rockies game that right. featured many, many things. It featured a George Thorogood concert, and it also featured a Pedro Alvarez walk-off home run, which is the second most memorable thing about that baseball game.
It was a sold-out game at PNC Park, which was memorable because the Pirates were kind of resurrecting themselves yet. I don't think they were fully resurrected into whatever they were in the early part of that decade.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember it was a Saturday night. It was sold out, and somehow I left my tickets back in Chicago. I don't know if you remember
this. I don't remember that. Oh, my God.
And so it was me and Dave Brown of Big League Stew and Yahoo Sports, and we had no idea how we were going to get in because the game was sold out, and we had already paid for these tickets. Didn't feel like paying a scalper prices for more. So we actually called our boss at Yahoo Sports, and we're like, you need to put in a credential request for us just to get us through the door. At that point, we'd already been drinking, you know, by PNC Park with you guys.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're completely, you know, half in the bag. And we checked in with our press credentials. We're walking in the bowels of the stadium with the players. And I forgot who the Pirates were playing, but I remember like seeing, you know, and we're just like kind of walking. And then we had to like find our way up to the stands. And it was like this kind of thing where we were drunk in Pittsburgh. Probably an unethical move to do that, but ended up working out.
It was the Wild West days of the internet. It didn't matter. Yeah. They were like, oh, here are the drunk internet guys. That's just what they did. That's exactly right. I did not remember that. That was great.
You remember Dave Brown falling down at the bar, like down some steps? He wasn't drunk. He just completely missed.
Was that before the game?
That was before the game.
And I think I remember that. I remember Meech, Mike of the Fightins, drove from Pittsburgh from Philadelphia in his minivan and like loaded it up with people and like was like picking people up on the way. I remember that. We had a great time. I've been to two games at PNC and I've seen two different walk-off home runs.
Nice.
Yeah, the last time I went, Starling Marte hit a walk-off home run while my wife and kids were like buying shirts. They like left in the 10th inning and we were there cheering for the Giants. And so it was like 2000 and the Giants won the World Series that year. It was 2000. No.
Okay.
Did they? No, they didn't. It was 2015. So they had just won the World Series. It was full of Giants fans. PNC okay. was full of Giants fans, but we're not here to talk about that. We aren't even really going to talk. We'll talk about the Blue Jays. We're going to talk about the Blue Jays spiritual cousins, I think is how I maybe would describe it. Okay. And speaking of the old Wild West of the internet, there was a guy named Andrew Riley used to run a great White Sox blog back in the day. And we wrote like posts on our blogs and when you did those sorts of things. Mm-hmm. And we talked about how similar Chicago and Toronto are. And I think that a lot of ways the White Sox and the Blue Jays have kind of had similarly mirrored experiences, you know, the 1993 American League Championship Series notwithstanding. But now I feel like the White Sox are in a similar place to the Blue Jays. The White Sox have a ton of talent. They, of course, the White Sox are in first place. Mm-hmm. They have overcome a lot this year. But what do you think about the way this White Sox team has sort of come together? I don't know if it's like been a quick rebuild, but it just there has been an infusion of talent to me, and now they're in a great place, it feels like.
Yeah, I like the fact that you make that comparison because it seems to like both fan bases have waited so long for this because the last decade or decade and a half have been such a downtime. You know, I think mm-hmm. the Blue Jays actually had more success than the White Sox did in terms of playoff at least appearances. It's obviously they hit the wall in 2016 and Jerry Reinsdorf and Kenny Williams finally gave Rick Hahn the green card to the green light to really go ahead with the rebuild. And mm-hmm. and they turned Chris Sale into Yoan Moncada and Michael Kopech. They obviously performed the heist of the century, trading Jose Quintana and a couple of years of team control for Eloy Jimenez and Dylan Cease. And Jose Abreu has been, you know, their rock and kind of the underrated superstar all along. And the Lance Lynn trade this offseason has just worked out crazy. Carlos Rodon has somehow been a phoenix in that rotation. And right now they're in a situation where, yeah, they look like World Series contenders. But the weird part of it is that they're in this, you know, tissue soft division where they really can't prove themselves. And they're just stacking up W's that don't seem to have a lot of weight to them. So right now they're in the middle of actually kind of a 2-week period where it's like, we're really going to see what they are. that started off with the Field of Dreams series with the Yankees, which one game in Iowa, and then they lost the, two games in Chicago, but now they just won 3-4 against Oakland. They're going to go play a 3-game series in Tampa this week, which will, I think, will be a really big measuring stick for them. And then obviously they come up your way, I think, for 3 or 4 against Toronto. I think it's 4.
It sounds about right. Usually one is 4 and one is 3. But yeah, it's the amount of talent on the team is obvious, right? And but they also, I think that your point about having the paper soft division is something that's maybe where the similarities end with the Blue Jays, as the Blue Jays are, of course, in fourth place. Who I think that, what are they, 7 or 8 games over 500 still? You know, we've worn out the term run differential here in Toronto this year, but I think that the White Sox have been even that much more aggressive, I think, in terms of the moves they made. You mentioned Lance Lynn, and then here, even at the trade deadline, you know, at the end of July, where they didn't deal necessarily from a position of strength, other than trading Nick Madrigal, but by bolstering an already strong bullpen, that to me is a signal that they are very serious about 2021 and 2022 they'll worry about that when it comes.
See, what I think is funny about that though, is I think a lot of people on the south side of Chicago looked at what the Blue Jays did over the offseason, where they went out and got George Springer. You know, obviously that didn't turn out that great, but they went out and got Marcus Semien. Those were two really positions that the Sox needed to address in last offseason, and they didn't. I mean, their big signing in position player wise was Adam Eaton, and that did not turn out well at all.
He is playing for the Angels these days, so that's the there's no worse thing you can say about a person if their name is not Shohei Ohtani, that they're playing for the Angels right now.
Right. But what the amazing thing is not only did they really overcome that oversight in the offseason, you know, then they had to get through the Eloy Jimenez injury, the Luis Robert injuries, and Tony La Russa, for as much guff and grief as he got over the first half of the season, has somehow gotten these performances out of guys like Brian Goodwin and Billy Hamilton and a couple of AAA all-stars. It's been really kind of crazy to watch him at work for being a 76-year-old manager who is supposed to be completely out of it. And you read Midway Minute, you know that I wasn't a fan of it from the start, but he's kind of, I don't want to say silence the critics, but he's certainly answered them in some way.
We'll be right back with more Spin Rate, but first, check this out.
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's the little birdie? Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms and restrictions apply.
I think that the Blue Jays have a different but similar problem with not problem. The view of the manager's role is skewed, and I think that when you're a team like the Blue Jays that have lost a lot of close games, have had some questions about the way that they've managed their bullpen, fingers start to point at the manager. So I know that, you know, reading what you've written about the White Sox over the season, especially the very early going, and then the whole thing with Yermín Mercedes, and there were a lot of questions about La Russa, but when the team starts winning and the team's cruising in first place, a lot of that stuff kind of goes away. Yeah. And I think that he's still, to me, and I'd love to hear what you think, he seems like the guy who still might step in it sometimes in terms of saying things that are a little bit out of line or a little bit out of pocket for 2021 baseball. But the team is winning and the roster is I don't know, I wouldn't say it's been La Russa proof, but there's a lot of talent in the bullpen and on the field that might minimize his desire to like tinker and mess around on the margins.
Well, I think the biggest thing that helps him out is that's a rotation that just turns out quality start after quality start. And, you know, when you got guys going 5-6 innings and now you're handing it off to a 3-headed monster, the ponytail gang, as they call it, of Michael Kopech, Craig Kimbrell, and Liam Hendricks, that's not a lot of, not a lot of maneuvering you have to do. He's not double switching here in the AL too much. I think the main concern lately has been about his kind of inability to spot where a challenge should be kind of issued. That kind of hurt them over the weekend against the Yankees. There was a couple of spots where it looked like had he thrown the flag or whatever, it would have resulted in a favorable outcome for the White Sox. So now it's kind of like, all right, who's going to, in a high pressure situation game in the playoffs, who's going to be in charge of that? I think people are talking about that, but I think overall he's kind of just righted that ship, and there could have been some spots where I think things could have went south for them, but they haven't. And now they're sitting here, you know, 40, 45 games out from the playoffs, and they're at a position just kind of fine tune things and see what they like. And the back end of the bullpen is interesting because you've got two guys in Craig Kimbrell and Liam Hendricks who have been two of the best closers in the game over the last, you know, 5-6 years. Like who goes for them? They say there's not going to be any drama. Well, there might not be any drama, but it's like, who do you want, you know, getting those high leverage outs wherever they may happen? I think they're really going to have to figure that out over the next month and a half.
It's good, I think, if you're a White Sox fan, because both those guys have already been paid. So seems like they're maybe not like, I need to get my saves so that when I get to arbitration, when I get the free agency, it's like, you know, I'm rich. Like if I'm Liam Hendricks, this was my contract. So it also just as you described that bullpen and how they operate with Hendricks and Kimbrell and Kopech, my gosh, throwing so hard. That has been the nightmare for the Blue Jays, is that was kind of relievers because the Blue Jays are so right-handed and so free swinging. It's definitely something to watch, something that Blue Jays fans, especially like the kind of folks who would listen to a show like this, are more attuned to. Their performance late in games has been so poor. And this is a really bad matchup, I think, for the Blue Jays. So that's something that's really Blue Jays fans will want to keep their eye on, is A, how they fare in that bullpen, and B, just how different it is than the one the Blue Jays throw out there, which is guys with funky angles and guys that throw tons of changeups and Brad Hand and stuff like that. But you know, we are obviously saying that 2021 is all in, but this is I think a team also, the White Sox, that have a really bright future as well.
Yeah, no question. I mean, you look at really, and you go through who they have under team control and the prices that they have them at. It's just really crazy. You know, I don't know, like I don't know if you guys recognize that Fernando Tatis Jr. used to be a White Sox. Like he was traded as part of the James Shields trade in 2016, which was like the last grasp. And if you think if Fernando Tatis Jr. could be in that lineup somehow with them, it'd just be absolutely amazing. But then, you know, even without him, even without losing him, you've got Luis Robert, you know, through the midpoint of the decade, Yoan Moncada on a really team friendly deal, Jose Abreu, you know, he'd probably come back for league minimum if Jerry Reinsdorf wanted to. Mm-hmm. That's how loyal he is to this franchise and how much he wants to win a championship here. It's pretty crazy. They don't have a lot of top end talent left in the minor leagues. If you look at the prospect list, it's been kind of, you know, it's been drained. They're at where the Cubs were probably in 2018 or 2019. So it's really imperative, you know, if they don't win it this year, you really have to strike in the next, you know, 2 or 3 years, because as we've seen with the Cubs, that window closes awfully quick.
Kevin Kaduk of Midway Minute doing my job for me, which is bringing us to the Cubs. So yeah. Now you cover both teams, but you are a self-identified Cubs fan, I think is not unfair to say.
I lean a little bit more Sox.
But really?
Yeah, I, it's weird. So I die hard with the Bears and the Bucks. Baseball was my job, so I don't quite as die hard with it. I grew up watching both teams because it was really easy back in the day before the Cubs moved to the night.
Mm-hmm.
I'd watch the Cubs during the day and the Sox at night. It's weird. It's kind of a weird place for me to be because so many people in this town identify so hard one way or the other.
Mm.
And to the point of like hatred, which I just hate because there's so many things on this side of the border that we can hate each other over. And to hate each other baseball is weird. So yeah, I don't know. I guess that's a weird question. This would probably be better for my psychiatrist or something. Yeah, that's what, you know.
That's
it's,
fair.
It's weird, you know. Yeah, I don't know.
Like, you wrote a book.
I did write a book. Yeah, so I came back and wrote a book about a summer in Wrigley Field, the same year that the Sox won the World Series in 2005. So. It's kind of weird. I don't know.
It sounds like you have an intractable and very close but complicated relationship with Chicago.
Well, I love baseball, right?
Mm-hmm.
So baseball is my favorite sport, but again, like it's just one of those weird things. So, yeah, the Cubs are interesting, because what they've just gone through, I don't think anyone saw it coming in 2016 or 2017, and really when they went through this whole teardown and rebuild in 2011, 2012, it was like, we're never going to have to do this again. And they're doing it again 10 years later. And it's like, how did this happen? I don't think a team with the resources of the Chicago Cubs should have to go through something like this.
A cautionary tale, but also it's a cautionary tale to use as a cautionary tale because they won the World Series. They won the World Series in 2016. So it's hard to go too hard on this was a fizzled or a failure in terms of an experiment. But you make a great point, which is the Cubs they did an un-Cubsy thing in that they were so truly bad for those few mm-hmm. years. And then it started to build. And then, you know, I remember in Chris Bryant's first game, right? The game, Chris Bryant's service time, Chris Bryant comes to the plate, you know, standing ovation, first game as a guy who's, you know, not necessarily like a Chicago guy, but that homegrown talent, that just like irresistible, can't miss prospect. He joins Rizzo. He joins, you know, then Javi Baez comes along. And then you've just got this incredible team that mm-hmm. achieved this goal. But at the same time, for Cubs fans or people that cover the Cubs, it has to feel like a bit of a disappointment. A, to end so terribly, is now they're playing. What did you write today? They're winning like 28% of their games or something like that. They have like a 289 winning percentage since they traded everybody.
Man, don't give them that much credit. 217.
217 is terrible.
Last 46 games. Although they're on a 2-game winning streak as we tape this. So
break them up.
It's all short. I think a lot of people say it was a failure because they didn't win more than one World Series. Something that I just kind of, when people say that, I just don't think people recognize how hard it is to win a World Series championship with the way the playoffs are set up now. This isn't the NBA where it's two or three or four title contenders a year.
Mm-hmm.
We could talk about this, but I think what the failure is that you were not able to take that core of talent that you had. You were not able to supposedly take this amazing front office that you were building up. And that was a front office that was very deficient in resources, both in terms of money and manpower before Theo Epstein got there. So you built that up and you supposedly built this Cubs way. And then you identified these amazing players who were just, people of virtue and, you know, we're never going to let you down and blah, blah, blah. So you had those guys and then somehow it just ends on a Friday in July in 2021 where literally everyone gets traded in the span of an hour. Like anyone that meant anything to that fan base. And look, like, I'm not saying it's a great idea to go out and write $500 million worth of checks to sign Anthony Rizzo and Chris Bryant and Javi Baez early, but at least figure out a plan. Why weren't any of those players at least not locked up to a little team friendlier deals early? Why isn't there anyone behind those guys? If that was your plan, that you needed to go cheap and you know, save the Ricketts family some dollars as they try to get under this debt that they incurred to rebuild Wrigleyville. I just don't understand. Like, there was not really any long-term planning here.
It's like that harsh reality, I think, too. Yeah, because none of those guys, the only one that's still around is Jason Hayward, who nobody wants to be around, unfortunately, because his contract hasn't worked out. I mean, obviously he was a key defensive piece of the World Series right. winning team, but in like there's nothing. If you're cheering for the team and you want them to win, mm-hmm. you would love to see you want them to do the things that are going to make the team win. But at the same time, like. Is it that grim now that they aren't an aging Chris Bryant away from having another good team? Like if Chris Bryant was still in the mix, they couldn't build around that. There's not.
You would think that. And look, Chris Bryant is a Scott Boras guy. That's been a whole labor, fight ever since he was called up late because of the Super Two rules. They really mishandled that right from the get-go. As opposed to the White Sox, who went out and signed Luis Robert, to a really team-friendly extension even before he played his first game. Mm-hmm. That's kind of how you build. Should build things now, right? And that just hasn't happened. So they were able to move up their prospect base in the rankings, as a result of the trade deadline day, but it went from like 28 to like 16 or 17, whatever that's worth. So now we're going to see, we're really going to see what Jed Hoyer and his crew are made of. Can these guys get coached up? Can you really get the arms that you never, ever developed in the last decade under Theo Epstein? I don't know if that's possible. I don't think this is a 2 or 3 year turnaround. I think they're in it for the long haul again.
More Spin Rate coming up right after these words from our sponsors.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them. You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
So as someone who's watched this Cubs odyssey, who saw the John Lester thing, so much of the stuff seemed like it worked out so well right off the start. They signed the big free agent outfielder. They signed the left-handed pitcher. If you are going to give some advice to Blue Jays fans who have a similar position to bolster this homegrown core around them, what would the advice you might give to a Blue Jays fan? I know what I would say. What would you say based on the Cubs experience that you've seen and observed?
Find another John Lester. I don't know.
they got Hyunjin Ryu. He's their John Lester.
Don't be the Phillies, right? Because like the Phillies,
never a bad idea trying to rebuild.
I don't know. I look at the Blue Jays and what they've done, and it looks like they want to win. I like the signings that they have made. I don't know. It's just kind of hard to say. So many of these things can go wrong, and like you said, like the Cubs, so many things did go right. Chris Bryant turned out to be your MVP, Rookie of the Year, superstar you thought you were getting that high in the draft, and Anthony Rizzo, you traded Andrew Kashner for him, and you ended up getting basically the next version of Mr. Banks and Mr. Cubs. So much of the stuff has to go right. So, what would you say?
I just say appreciate it, like enjoy it in the moment, right? I think that which nobody needs to tell Cubs fans to enjoy the first World Series in 108 years because they did that, but. It's all, I follow a lot, people who are Cubs fans and people from Chicago in the area. And it's like, they're just so, like, I thought there would be more like shitty, like it would feel worse, I think, to see Chris Bryant traded, see Anthony Rizzo traded, see Javi Baez traded in the same day. And most of them are like, whatever. Like they're kind of like beat down and like, it's been miserable as this sort of has fizzled out. So my advice to Blue Jays fans, which I could probably count myself among, is just like enjoy it while it's happening and hope and if they do win the World Series or there's no guarantees in this life, in this game. So I would say enjoy what you can and find those moments of enjoyment when they're on offer.
If we were doing this podcast 10 years ago and 2021 me shows up on that podcast somehow and like says, look, the Cubs are going to win the World Series in 2016. And within 5 years, the manager will no longer be there. The GM will no longer be there. The MVP will no longer be there. The most popular Cub will no longer be there. And people would shrug. Like, you would not have believed it.
And no, for sure. The whole, like, Joe Madden will never buy a drink in this town again. It's like, right. They ran him out on a rail.
and everyone talked about, like, the Red Sox, you know, when they won it, would they lose their identity? And they didn't, because they were able to pivot and win that next one in 2007 and then add two more within the next, you know, 10 or 12 years. You know, the Cubs weren't able to do that, and the Cubs mm-hmm. are going to do that. So the Cubs are left now. Okay, you've lost your identity as the lovable losers. You've got to that goal, but it's like, okay, now you're like supposedly this big market team with owners who are now acting small market, and you're left with this beautiful ballpark, which they did a great job with the renovations mostly, but now it's $400 to get a ticket, like mm-hmm. behind the dugout, or to get a good ticket to a game, it's $120, $130 to watch freaking Frank Schwindel and Greg Dykeman. Like, what are they left with? I don't know.
They got Patrick Wisdom. That's all they need. it is a bit of the warning sign, or the troubling case of, like, the, you have to convert your folksy baseball club into a modern sports business. And they achieved that. But with that came some of that. As soon as the purse gets tightened up, then suddenly it all kind of goes out the window.
Yeah.
I don't want to keep you too much longer. And we've talked about your daily newsletter, the Midway Minute. I want to give you a minute to describe what it is.
Sure. Not,
again, I read it every day. I don't care about the Bulls. I got Justin Fields posters on my walls now. I don't even know how they got there. But
I love it.
I want you to tell me a little, tell everyone who's listening a little bit the Midway Minute. And I want them to tell you about what you did yesterday with Humble Design.
Yeah, so Midway Minute is just kind of a daily digest of Chicago sports in the morning, kind of let off with an opinion or maybe a little longer piece, and then just kind of everything you need to know about Chicago sports for that day. So like you said, like, you don't like Chicago sports, but I have a lot of, like, non-Chicago readers, which kind of maybe tells me I'm doing something right and producing something entertaining. So that's kind of cool. So I started it in February 2020. After I left Yahoo Sports, and have kind of just been at it every day and trying to community build. And then, as you alluded to yesterday, I was able to take some members of that community using funds raised by our community, including yourself. I appreciate you donating, but we went into Chicago's West Side and helped move a family who had who was transitioning out of homelessness into a new apartment. And it was a 3-bedroom, 1-bedroom apartment. A family of 7 was moving in, and basically we went in there. They had sleeping bags and mattresses on the floor. And by the time we left, they had 2 sets of bunk beds, crib, you know, beds for the mom and the older daughter. And it was really rewarding. And honestly, I think I wrote in the other day's newsletter, like, even if this newsletter never becomes anything more than demented Justin Fields propaganda, at least we all have done something nice for at least one family. And so we achieved that yesterday.
Yeah, it was great. It was a really cool thing to see, you know, from a distance. And the I guess, as you said, the newsletter is great. The format is, like, perfect. And there's always, like, the kind of general interest things at the bottom. And if you were like me and you were hyper interested in, like, accent stuff, Kevin always knows if you put something about an accent in there, I'm going to send him an email and reply about the Chicago accent, about any kind of accent. I'm a sucker for it. So, Kevin, my friend, this was so much fun. I'm so glad that that we were able to get this done today.
Cool. Well, I appreciate it. Anytime I can come and be your Chicago expert, I will have it. And if anyone wants to sign up for it, it's at midwayminute.win.com was taken for some reason. So
it's out there. You can follow Kevin on Twitter at Kevin Kaduk as well. This is great. And I look forward to the Blue Jays and the White Sox series coming up next week. And I hope everyone has a great weekend. And we'll talk to you at the end of the weekend on the next edition of Spinner.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.